All right, and by hold on the podcast this week, I'm actually coming to you from Colorado right now, a little bit of a ski weekend going on. And just want to hop on here and say that M by Hold, really great episode. And I got my friend Alex Veltri, who's a songwriter, super creative, super talented, is a collaborator of M's. She's going to come on in the beginning and talk a little bit about their process. I've known Alex for years. One of my really good friends, she heard I was interviewing M and decided to jump on and say hey, and I'm glad she did. So this is really cool. You get a little bit of a window into the creative process with M, the behind the scenes stuff. She's got a new single coming out Friday, Roller Coasters Make Me Sad. I got an advance listen to the song. And it's really great. It's really great. Most of M's stuff is you gotta listen. Don't be falling behind on M. Don't be sleeping on M. All right, here we go. M by Hold on the podcast. This episode, I think 125. Nope, I think it's 123, 124. I don't know. Okay, here we go. M by Hold on the podcast. Check it out.
Hi.
What is this? The team's putting in the wrong link. This is such amateur hour. I'm dead. What is happening?
Well, the link was the master to my song. And we thought maybe you might be trapped inside the song, trying to get out.
That's what happened. I was stuck there. I needed to get out.
We were just using it as a segue so you could start talking about Roller Coasters Make Me Sad.
Wait, first of all, I want to say that I texted Alex yesterday because I was like, Alex, I'm interviewing M today and like, I need some tea. Like I can't let Zach Sang have the best interview with her. Like this Zach needs the best interview. So I was like, I need some tea, like some gossip. And she was like, writer confidentiality, bro. Like she didn't give me anything.
I said, that's ethical.
She said, which I don't think that's a real thing. I think there's no rules here. Spread the tea. But the point is she's a true friend, true co-writer. She didn't give up anything. I don't know anything.
Thanks, Zach. I love you. That's a glowing review.
You're also right across from me when you texted.
Wait, and you sent that photo, and I was sort of confused because I thought I thought that was like a stock photo or something. I was like, I know that you. I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, I know that you're like friends with them, and you write, and you're her co-writer. But then I reread it, and I was like, oh, you're literally with her. So yes, it was very funny. It's a very small world. What is this house that you're in? Because you posted something on Instagram where there's like guitars and all this stuff. Like, what is, like, is this a house that you rent for writer's retreats? Oh no, this house has bad Wi-Fi.
No.
Are we back?
We're back.
Does this house have bad Wi-Fi? What's happening?
No, that was you.
Don't say that was me. Was okay, but what is this house? Because on Instagram you're posting that there's like a wall of guitars at this Airbnb. Like, is this a house that you get for writing retreats?
You would have a field day at this place. We're kind of stationary right now. Otherwise, I would take you all around and show you all the guitars. But yeah, I mean, M's team put this together. M built this house from the ground up, brick by brick.
Wait, no, they ain't. What is this house? Did they?
It's my manager's friend's house. And we were looking to come to Palm Springs, and he just happened to have, he knew someone who had a house here, and we were like, can we rent it and like write songs? And they said yes. He knew a guy. And yeah, there's like so many guitars. There's like 30, 40 guitars here. I don't even really play guitar.
But is there pressure on a writer's retreat to like, I feel like if I was on a writer's retreat, I would be like goofing off, like, big dinners, like I would not be taking it seriously, but do you have to take it seriously and you have to write songs, right? So is there a balance? Is this mostly songwriting, or is there a lot of goofing off, and then do you start to go, oh crap, we're supposed to be writing songs right now?
I would say there's a balance. I feel like we've had a good schedule of like when we write, but then we like also go to the dinner and goof off and have that time. But then we like, I think we're really good at focusing because we've been writing with each other for like a year plus.
Yeah, year and a half.
And we know how to get into the flow. So a balance.
You know what to do. I feel like you're in this place, like maybe you feel this way or maybe you don't, Em, but I feel like you're in this place where it's like Numb Little Bug sort of like gave you this like identity, maybe a little bit of a brand. Like people know a little bit of who you are from the song. And now like as you're writing, you can like either lean into that brand or you can like reveal something else about you or like, tell us something else about who you are through song. So is that like a conscious thing that you're like, okay, as we're writing, like, am I going to lean into the person who is the character or myself in Numb Little Bug? Or are you like, let's reveal something else because like that was a thing and now we need to talk about something else?
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of a fear of like being pigeonholed as an anxiety beacon, I guess.
Yeah, so is that like conscious that we're writing, like when people pitch, like is Alex pitching those ideas and you're like, no, like let's talk about something else. Like I'm so much more dimensional than that.
I mean, I would say we have our fair share of like mental health songs because, you know, so many people related to that one that I like to write things that people will resonate with. But we also do write about different things. I would say like, for instance, we were writing a song yesterday and we were talking about being numb. And I was like, let's shy away from that even as one lyric because I don't want to harp on the same note too many times. So it is a conscious thing. But like, I don't know. So I feel like sometimes we lean in and then sometimes we're like, let's get far away from this.
I feel like it's sort of fun though when like artists reference their biggest hits or whatever or big songs of theirs in their songs. Like sometimes it's like a nod to the fans and it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, sometimes I think it works.
Yeah, I do reference Numb Little Bug in one song. So like, I'll do it once, but that's...
You're getting one, okay? But no more for them. Okay, don't expect anything else. What were you gonna say?
M's instincts really come through in like every single session, and so like it's not like I have to be like pitching her concepts like you're afraid, you're in high school and you're afraid of something because you're so anxious. It's just like she's like, I have this idea, it's a chorus idea, or like I have this verse idea, and it's like really easy to go off to the races. M really knows what she's doing and she has an identity and she steers the ship and she is decisive, and if something is working for her, she says it. If it's not, we push until it works. Meaning is super important to her and it's really easy to work off of. It just comes very naturally. And so like anything that sounds like Numb Little Bug is just because like that's what comes from inside of M, but other things do as well. I feel like I've never seen you try to like, oh, this is my brand, I need to stick with it.
How'd you guys first meet? Did a publisher put you together, or how'd you guys first start writing?
It was just, you need to behave.
I'm sorry. I'm going to leave in a second. The only reason I'm here is because I know Zach from college and you didn't mention that.
I didn't mention what?
That we know each other from college. Otherwise, like, why would I be here except for to say hi?
Cause we're friends. I just wanted to say hello. And I want to talk about roller coasters in a second. M's new song, which I think is fantastic. We're going to talk about it in 1 second, but I just want to know, wait, so did you guys meet randomly?
So we met in a random session. I mean, basically how my calendar works is like every day is kind of just with new people.
Someone else.
Yeah. And we write a song, and it's funny. Cause when I met Dallas initially, Alex came in like a few minutes later and Dallas and I were talking about like, oh, I hate this session grind. And like, you never really click with them and blah, blah, blah. And then like within an hour, we like wrote my favorite song about panic attacks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh
like,
yeah.
The quickest like melding I have ever had in the session. I don't know about you, but.
The first song I ever heard that you two wrote was Goo. Cause that's the first song on the EP I listened to, which I really love. And especially that line about LAX, because I feel I get your anger in your voice when you say LAX and you really...
There we are.
Hey.
Okay, we're back. Okay, I don't even have a good lead in here. I'm just going to say that I'm blessed to be here now on technology. And let's just talk about this new song, Roller Coasters, which is really great. It's a really great song. For those listening, we've had epic technology failures and we're going to make the most of it. Here we go. Okay, so Roller Coasters, this is about the ups and downs in the music industry. You two wrote it together. Was this written on a writer's retreat as well? Or was this written in a, you know, a normal writing room?
In Dallas's house. He's right over there eating cereal.
Oh, Dallas, baby. I knew this was going to come together.
What's up, Zach?
I'm so sorry.
Dallas, did you write this song also?
I did, yeah. These three.
Okay, so you sit down and just Does somebody say, hey, what about a song about the roller coasters of life? Does somebody say that idea?
Well, we'll help you out here. Okay, it was basically like it started with us. I think I suggested that we go to an amusement park to go on a roller coaster, and Em was like, I hate roller coasters. And this was just after, you know, I feel like you should take this away about the industry conversation.
Well, yeah. So we were having the theme park conversation, and I think I had just been to Six Flags, and I was like, when I got to the top of the roller coaster and it went down, I just got depressed. Like, I wasn't scared. I just got really sad. So it kind of started there. And then I think we were, so this was the day that I had got back from tour. And we were talking about like Numb Little Bug and how in the first day it got a million streams and how crazy that was. But how the day it did so well, I was literally bracing for the fall because I've been raised in a way that, like, I don't know, you always know that what goes up has to come back down. And I know the whole like LA 15 minutes of fame sort of thing.
Why were you raised like that? Like, did you see that happen to other people and you were like, oh, that's gonna be me? Like what, and what was happening in your, what happens in your environment that gives you that feeling? Because I feel like I sort of think that too. I don't know. Like that might be a very human thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like in my best moments, I'm kind of worried because they can only go down, which is maybe a little pessimistic of me. But when we were talking about that experience with Numb Little Bug and also just like the ups and downs of, you know, even tour, you go on stage, it's incredible. And then you go to a hotel room alone and it's sad. like the whole way the industry is just kind of like that. And we were likening our conversation about roller coasters to experiences in the music industry. And
we were talking a lot about nervous system regulation and like how is it so hard to enjoy the successes? And then in like right after that is when Em was like, oh, and I hate roller coasters. And then it was like, aha, oh, okay. Clearly like you have an interest and like foresight to not let yourself get too down. And so in order to do that, you kind of brace yourself and then don't really get to enjoy the best moments too, because you know what's coming.
Who writes the line about capitalist frenzy, $10 ice cream in the first verse?
That was me.
This girl.
I believe.
That does that line just come to you? That's like a cool rhyming thing. Like how does that line just come to you? And do you say like, okay, let's set up the scene of like an amusement park and then we're going to move into like what the song is really about? Like, why does that line function? Because I feel like that's a great line.
Thank you. I've just never liked theme parks or arcades because they just want to take your money and they're not fun to me. So, like,
you know what? I get so freaked out at amusement parks too. Do you have this feeling? Like, I get very depressed at like arcades. I genuinely feel that way. Is that what you said you were feeling?
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. The way I have fun is not in such a manufactured environment. Like, I don't like being forced to have fun. Like, that's what theme parks and arcades seem like to me.
So you write this, and then how many songs do you guys write that don't get cut? Like, lots? Or it's just sort of rant? Like, do you send this to the team and to Mary, and like, does somebody pick this? Or do you say, this is a really great song, like, this needs to be my next release?
I feel like most of the songs we do together do get cut. There have been a few that haven't made it. Not tons, though. And sometimes I send them to the team and I'm like, I like this. What do you think? And then they give their thoughts. Other times, like with roller coasters, I was like, this is coming out. Sorry. Like, this is
coming out.
Yeah.
Why is Alex a great writer? I believe she is. Why is she great in the room though? Like, why do you gravitate towards her?
Because Alex has such a good way of taking exactly what I'm thinking and finding the ways to phrase it creatively that I wouldn't think of, or just different angles that I would never consider. And also, like, I feel like a lot of writers kind of try to put words in your mouth a little bit. I mean, they're just doing their job. And of course, you know, it's hard not to do that when you're a writer. But Alex has a way of like really understanding my perspective without making me say anything I don't want to say. Like, you know, with Numb Little Bug, I would say a lot of writers like really lean into this anxiety thing for me. But then when it's coming out of their mouths, it's like, I don't necessarily relate to what you're saying. Like, you're painting me in a kind of bad mental health light that I feel like only I can truly talk about. Like, you can't really say this about me. But Alex doesn't do that. She gets you.
Because what she says is right, you think she gets you, or because she doesn't put words in your mouth that other writers think you want to say or that you want to hear, or like they think they know what your brand is or who you are, and Alex doesn't push that on you. Is that kind of what it is?
I mean, she listens. She doesn't push anything, I would say.
Well, and this is going to be the last thing I say, and then I'm going to get out of here. It's really because M is guiding the ship and is saying, like, would never say anything that she didn't want to say. You know, like, I don't see you doing that. Like, if I push, like, oh, I think this is a good idea, you'll equally tell me why you don't think it's a good idea. And it's just like a really It's an intellectual conversation about emotions. That's not too, I don't know. There've been times on this trip where I've been like, oh, we could say that. And you're like, but that's not what I mean. And then I'm like, okay, well, what about this? And I'm trying to like cater to a rhyme scheme. And you're like, still not what I mean. And then like you describe it in a different way. And it's like, oh, aha. It's only because you won't let up. And like, that's a really cool commitment to the song and to yourself and a trust in your co-writers, which is really cool.
Well, that's the other thing is that with Alex, I feel like we are just like nonstop going lyrics back and forth. Like we always kind of find our flow and we can easily just be like, no, and move on. And I feel like with other writers, sometimes I have to like sugarcoat. I mean, I think this isn't the best idea. We could do a little better. Alex and I can just keep going.
Just like, no. Alex, does that, even though you're like, okay, this is going to make the song better. And like, there's all the respect for M for like knowing what she's going to say, what she's not going to say. Whatever, like, is it also like a little frustrating when you're throwing out ideas and I'm like, nope, that's not really me. And then like, now it's like, okay, well now we're moving on. But I sort of thought that could have been you.
No, because it's kind of the end of like, it's the end of the discussion. If it's not her, it's not her. It's like a puzzle. It's like, it's not like, oh, I think this could have been you if you could have seen it differently. Like, it's just not. And it's gotten to like, I'm thinking specifically about the song we wrote yesterday. It got us to like a much cooler idea that I think is even more true for me by M being like, that's still not what I mean. Like you're pushing in a direction that's too far this way. So it's always the right answer in the end. Like what M wants to say is the right answer. I'm going to get off now.
Alex, it was so great to see you. And I love you too, Alex. And I miss you. M, I want to ask you, because when you put out Numb Little Bug, I've heard you say that, like, I think it was your parents that would say to you, like, I guess there were maybe pill bottles in the music video or something. And they said, I don't know if you want to do that, put that imagery out there because it's going to make you look a certain way or whatever. And like, that would drive me crazy. Like, I would be like, leave me alone. Like, I'm just trying to make a music video or just trying to represent something. Like, is that kind of thing really frustrating for you? Or do you just kind of accept it, but you say, I'm okay with it and I'm okay with this imagery?
I mean, I think like, my parents are my favorite people in the world. Like, I'm really close with them, but there is a generational gap. Like, my generation just shares way more than theirs does. And like, things that are taboo to them are very normalized to me. And I also think once Numb Little Bug took off and they saw the response to it, and they also like had some of their own friends say like, oh my gosh, like your daughter's song like made me feel seen. I think that's when they started to realize like, oh, it's okay to talk about this. Like, they needed to see the reaction first.
Yeah, I've heard you say in interviews that they would say, you're not going to get a real job, or like, people are going to see this and think you're unstable or whatever. And aren't you thinking like, of course I'm not going to get a real job. I'm a fucking artist. Like, this is my job. Like, that to me would be frustrating. But I'm sure they don't mean it like that. But do you get kind of frustrated like that? Or do you just say like, you're able to, decompartmentalize it and just say, I'm going my own way. And, you know, I'm doing this the way I'm going to do it.
I think I tend to go my own way. I don't think you can be an artist being held back by anyone. I think you have to stay true to your moral compass. And that's like, that's how you're different, you know? So I would say like, sometimes there are certain things my mom will say that'll kind of stick with me. Or like, actually, there was one song where I was cursing and she was like, I'd really just like, I don't think there's nothing wrong with cursing, but you should only curse if you need to curse. And I don't feel like you have to here. And she was totally right. And I'm glad I made that call, because most of my audience, like, I think are younger girls who wouldn't listen to explicit songs. So it like literally helps widen the audience to not curse. So I listen sometimes, but I also like, I know when I have to follow my gut.
Okay, fair enough. Do you still live with your parents or have you moved out yet?
I still live with them.
First of all, I think this is like very reasonable. I'll go between New York and Nashville, and I'm in New York. I spend half my time with my parents. Like, I'm like, this is very reasonable. But on the horizon, like, are you like, okay, I got to move out. Like, I got to figure something out. Or like, are you very content living with your family, and you travel so much. It's like, you probably don't even see them that often.
I mean, that's part of it. I have been like touring a lot. And so it feels silly to like pay rent when I'm away most of the time, but I am looking to get a place eventually. Like, probably in the same neighborhood, because I do want to see them often because we are so close. But I think it would be good to like experience full independence, which I haven't really since like college. So I am looking.
Okay, we're looking. And what is this that I've heard you say that, I guess, prior to becoming like a successful artist, you really hadn't seen that many live concerts. Is that true?
Yeah, I think my first concert was in high school. I saw Alt-J.
Okay.
That was the first time I like really smelled weed too.
Oh yeah. And then wait, so but were you not someone who would go to concerts? Because I feel like most artists go to as many concerts as they can. Was that not you? Like, were you not that into it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think part of it was the music that I grew up loving was like Regina Spektor, Lily Allen, Kate Nash, all like songwriters who, in my mind, it wasn't like, I need to see this spectacle show. Like, that wasn't really what was so special to me. I am seeing Regina Spektor actually for the first time in March. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I would say I had a little sense of when I saw someone else on stage, I wanted to be on stage. So it was hard to just like be an audience member a little bit.
Because like going to shows wasn't that fun because you were like, I'd rather be on stage. And this is a constant reminder that I'm not famous yet. Is that sort of a little bit it? Or like, were you just not that into shows?
Like, I don't know, maybe a combination. I also feel like, well, I don't know. At this point, I have been to some really incredible shows. I feel like some people are true, like, music lovers, and they love to feel it and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I'm a music lover, but maybe not to the extent you would expect. Like, I'm more of a writing love, like, a clever writing lover than I am, like, I need to go to the show, necessarily. I mean, I'm also kind of an introvert and don't really love going out in general. I'm not painting myself in an exciting light, but like,
no, but I get this. Like, going to a concert is like a very, like, you know, it's sort of an extroverted thing, especially if you're going to like a current act. There's a lot of people around. I don't know. It's like a big thing to go to a concert. It's a lot of people there. But when you pictured yourself as an artist, like, did you picture yourself on stage playing concerts, even if you didn't love going to them? Or was that, are you so much more like, when I picture myself as an artist, it's me in the writer's room writing. And that's sort of what my artistry is.
Well, the truth is, I actually wanted to write songs for movies for a long time. I wanted to just work in sync because when I was 16, I wrote a song for a film, and it took me like they sent me the script. I read it. It took me 10 minutes to write it, and they're like, "Perfect." And I was like, "This job is easy, and I can just like make money like that."
Yeah.
That was a fluke, and that doesn't happen very often. But I thought it was too unattainable to really want to be an artist until TikTok, and then everything that I would have just put in my voice memos as ideas, which were thousands, I just started putting on TikTok instead. And then the ones that took off did. And that's how that became a reality. So I never really imagined to like do the Hannah Montana thing. Like I never saw myself on stage doing a big show. It was really like, I see myself as more of a Regina at the piano bearing my soul rather than like, here's the show. But I think at this point, I actually have gone like definitely more down the pop route than I was expecting to.
I feel like when I've seen videos of you play or even like you're out opening for the Jonas Brothers, like you have really good command of the stage. Like you can like own it, walk around confident. So like, is that just because you've seen a million videos of other legends do it and you sort of have a sense of what it is? Or because I feel like I've seen so many shows, so I sort of know what people should be doing on stage generally. But do you have that? Are you just sort of leaning into yourself and walking around and that's enough? Or like, how do you know what to do in a live show?
I mean, at this point, one of my biggest goals is to put on a show, which it's fine, it wasn't before. But I did so much touring and experienced so much stage fright and saw so many shows now that I've liked so much that I was like, wow, I really want to be able to just be better. So I've been working on it pretty actively, trying to get over my stage fright. I will say for the Jonas Brothers shows, like a part of me just blacked out and I was like, I have nothing to lose. I just got to go for it. And that was probably my favorite one that I've done.
Because when you played Jimmy Fallon and you did Numb Little Bug on Jimmy Fallon, you did this thing where you sang the first verse like at the microphone, confident staying at the mic. And then second verse, it was like microphone was off the stand and you were like walking around the stage using some of the space. Was that something that you sort of felt in the moment, or was that something that you rehearsed a million times to try to like get a small amount of, I guess, choreography going, for lack of a better term?
I rehearsed that because I was in like 2 feet heels. I was like, I got to know exactly what I'm doing or I'm going to trip on this little stage. So
definitely rehearsed. And does someone give you the direction on your team? Like, do you work with someone who says, hey, like first verse here at the mic, second verse, walk around, that's going to create some good momentum? or do you just sort of have a sense of what it is, what you should be doing, and you know, and then you go in with your band and you rehearse it a bunch of times?
I think I did it in the like camera check, and just asked my team, like, what do you think? And they're like, that's great. I just did it for the show.
And that was it. So it just came sort of easily. Like, it's not such a big thing, even though it was very effective. Like, it wasn't like, you know, you spent all this time being like, okay, here I'm going to be here. Now I'm going to go over here. It just was like a natural thing.
For that one, yes. But what's funny is, like, in my full live show, there are some instrumental breaks where I have told my music director and my band, like, I don't know what to do with myself here. And they're like, well, normally people don't ask about that. They just like vibe or they dance or they drink water. And I've never been like a natural dancer. It's just like my body doesn't have it. I don't know. So I do like actively think about those moments and try to plan something, because it's just not like an easy thing.
Are you talking about like in between song transitions or even like instrumental breaks? Is that what you're saying?
Both.
So like, what do you think you do there? Because I feel like this is so hard to come up with, right? Like, how do you keep everyone engaged in these moments? Like, what do you do?
I mean, sometimes I'll find a vocal part to sing that isn't in the song just so I have something
like
to do.
Like a riff or something.
Yeah, I literally just got a bass so I could learn it so I would have something to do with my hands. Like, this is an active struggle for me.
Wait, so you got a bass and because are you out with a bass player right now, or is bass in the tracks?
Bass is in the tracks, but I want to learn so I can do something with my hands.
Yeah. Oh my God, you have to do this.
I mean, I grew up at the piano. Like, even when I did recitals and shows at school and everything, I was always behind the piano. So, like, to just be up front with a mic is still a new thing for me, like, in the past year.
Yeah. So, wait. So, going back. So, what concerts have you seen that you thought were really great that you're like, maybe I could incorporate some of that into my show?
So, I opened for AJR and I saw their show, which was, like, incredible. Probably the best show I've ever seen. I am also friends with a band called Moon Tower.
Yeah, I actually don't know who that is. I thought you were going to say Moon Taxi. Who is Moon Tower?
So they're like kind of an indie pop band.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, I went to their show when I was in college, when I wasn't really like in the music scene yet. And then later I did my song Too Precious with a producer that like did their album. So I became friends with them through him. And went to their show, and they just looked like they were having so much fun. So I was having fun because they were having fun. And also, their music is incredible. And I don't know, when I see a good show, I just think like, oh, all I got to do at the end of the day is have fun. Like, it seems...
It's hard though, is that what you said?
It's a little hard because you're so stressed. Like, you're not just like vibing to the music. Like, also, when you're listening to your songs, there's a metronome in your in-ears. Like,
right.
Like clicking, it's not the most enjoyable in the in-ear mix that you hear when you're playing live.
Do you ever have this thing? Because when I go out and play, like, this always happens to me. Like, I'll go out and I'll feel like I'm like headbanging like a crazy person and I'm giving it like my all. And then I'll watch these videos back of me and I'm like not even moving. Like, I'm literally not moving at all. Do you experience that too? Like, in your head, do you think like you're putting on this incredible show and then you watch back and you're like, oh, wait, like I'm not doing... I'm not visually projecting nearly as much as I think I am.
I think I used to do that. And then I saw some videos where it wasn't looking how I wanted it to, where I like made more of an effort. I actually like practiced in a mirror just to know what it was going to look like, you know?
Yeah. Wait, so then now, how do you get over the stage fright? Is it just repetition, just doing it and just getting more comfortable on stage?
Yeah, I mean, I remember for the King Princess tour when I was opening, the first night I was just like panicked the whole set. I was like, I don't know if I'm meant to do this job. Like, this is too much. And then by the last show, it was kind of like, all right, here to do my job. Like, my set's 30 minutes. Let's go. You know, it's just a mindset thing, but it's hard to always get into the right zone. I still get nervous sometimes, like after time away for a while, like going back to the stage, it's a little nerve-wracking. But
how do you make your set into more of a show though? Like, what does that mean? How do you do that?
I mean, it's really, presence is so important. Also, like, interaction with your bandmates. That's something I'm learning to do because I didn't really understand it before. But like, you know, for Goo, I like yell some of the lyrics at my guitarist now, like stuff like that. Also, you know, as you build up, it's also lights and backgrounds, and like, lights can make such a difference. My goodness, when we've had good lighting designers for shows, because when you're opening, you don't always have a lighting
designer. Yeah, right.
We'll do it. Like it makes such a difference.
I feel like it does. Are you going to go out with lights now? Because can you put lights into your tracks and have it like coordinated and be like a whole thing?
I don't know if it's in the budget right now. But like, I don't know, stream my songs more, people, so we can get some.
Come on, let's go. Lights do make a difference, right?
Yeah.
That the lighting cues are where it's at. Whenever I go to a show and someone, like, you see the light cues are off, it drives me crazy. I'm like, some guy had one job, which was to nail the lighting cues, and he couldn't do it. He screwed up. He's screwed it up. It does make a difference, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, the AJR show, like, they're already amazing, but the lights were just like transported me. Like, you could have not seen them, but the lights alone were enough to just be entertained the whole time.
Yeah. Do you have this thing? Because when I go out on the road, like, I like can't wait to get home. But then when I get home, I like miss being out on the road. Do you have that feeling too?
I'm such a homebody that like
you're like, get me home.
Well, I love being home, but I also love meeting fans. I would say with touring, like, I tend to have a bit of a limit. Like, there's a certain amount that it's really fun, and then I just get really exhausted, and I do look forward to like sleeping for a week after that. I don't know. It's kind of a combination. I mean, touring is really tiring.
Oh my God, so tiring. And what you said is so true, that like you play in front of fans and then it's like you're very lonely very quickly, which is kind of a touring cliche, but it's so true. It's like it really does feel like you're like deprived of like a drug, kind of. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The adrenaline, like, I remember when I played my first show opening for Anson Seabra last May or something. Like, I remember going on stage and then I saw the lights flash over the audience and I was like, oh, I did not realize 300 people is that many people. Like, I was going crazy, my adrenaline. And then I got to the hotel and it was quiet and I was looking at videos and I was like, did that really happen? Like, that doesn't seem real. I just was like, I was in total disbelief about that feeling.
Do you have like a live bucket list they're trying to check? But I feel like you've played some pretty big venues, right? Have you done stadiums yet?
I did a stadium for Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite venue I've ever played.
See, you've got the live bug. Like, this is like a thing. Like, you're into this.
The thing is, in stadiums, everyone is so far away that you can't see their expressions. So I was just like, I'm playing to beautiful ants and I won't see their judgment if they don't like the song. Cause sometimes you catch like a couple people in the front who are clearly waiting for the headliner and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
and stadiums, you can't see anyone.
Yeah. You can't see them.
Yeah. But you don't feel the pressure of people or whatever. Like, in a club, you can actually see the whites of their eyes and it's like, it's a lot to think about.
Yeah. I would definitely prefer to play a stadium over a coffee shop at this point.
Yeah. I feel like that's real. And in a stadium, I feel like there's so much more noise that you don't need to be as perfect. Like, it gets lost, right? Where if you're in like a theater or something, like, you have to nail it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So, and then your song you did with Steven Sanchez, Until I Found You, you gave a great performance on James Corden. Well, who came up with the visual design for that? Because I feel like that took some coordination, right? Is that Steven's brainchild? Like, or is that like a team member? Like, who creates those outfits and says, this is the theme we're going to do for this song?
His team sent a picture of his suit. And then I had just happened to do a photo shoot a couple days before with that like blue velvety dress with the bows. And we were like, I don't know if we should use this again because we just did a photo shoot with it.
We just did it. They're going to see that we're an outfit repeater.
But it was so perfect. Like, we had to.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was just kind of chance that we had found that. I mean, that was all credit to Steph Kolinch, who's my stylist, but... Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought that was a great performance.
Thank you.
That to me was like a performance. Like, you came out halfway through, you know, like that was like a, like that was a great set. No, it wasn't a set, a great song.
I mean, thank you. My heart was like going 300 BPM.
Really? Because you thought millions of people are going to see this on TV tonight? Because it's a small audience in there, right?
Yeah. And you have, with some shows, you have two shots to do it. Yeah. So for Alan, I actually did it twice. And then we just picked the one we liked more. For this one, it was one shot. So I was like, I can't mess anything up. And then at one point, you can't see it actually in the video, but I like stepped over a wire. And so I like kind of lost my confidence for a second because I was in these really tall shoes. So I felt like I could fall for like a split second. And so just like controlling your nerves along with something like that. And I also
I wouldn't know what you're going
to say. I had this choreographed move to like move the mic stand over, which we had added like right before we did it. And it seems really minor, but it was something I was nervous about because like lifting something while you're singing, like it doesn't sound hard, but it's kind of hard.
Do you know what? I actually noticed you do that. And I thought, was that microphone like in her way? So she was just like, screw it, I'm going to move it. Or was that like a choreographed move where you like, why did you have to move the mic stand just to get out of the way?
Well, so we didn't want there to be like an empty mic stand while he was singing the first bit. So it was like, I'll just bring my own once my part starts.
So you walked on with a mic? Now I'm trying to remember it. And then you moved it out of the way?
I walked on with the mic and then I moved the mic stand from the back to the front.
I feel like that is a lot of pressure.
It kind of was. Like
It kind of is, right?
Kind of. I was scared.
I think you did a great job though. And they edited around your trip or whatever.
They did.
To me, what's crazy though is like, let's say you walked on and like tripped and fell, which would be a nightmare. Are you telling me they weren't going to reshoot it? Like, I feel like they just say that. That's just the line they say. Maybe they don't reshoot though. Well, what do I know?
Well, I don't know if this is a secret, but I know that on Fallon, there was a performance where Meghan Trainor tripped and they did two, but then they like chose the one where she tripped because she like thought it was funny, which I love.
See, it could have been great. The point is, Roller Coasters is coming out this Friday. This is a great song, and you have to listen to this. And how much pressure is there? Like, I think what's interesting is that Numb Little Bug, I don't think that was a fluke that it went viral, because didn't you post like 60 videos before it took off?
I did. Well, I posted myself playing it on piano, and that one got like 7 million views. So I had a feeling it was going to stream well, but I didn't realize it would get like a million plays in the first day.
Yeah.
I mean, after there was some excitement already, I just kept posting videos to get the pre-saves up. I think we got like 80,000 pre-saves, which, you know, that doesn't happen very often. With Roller Coasters, I'm trying to do the same thing, but it's, you know, sometimes they just really hit on TikTok, sometimes they don't. But I'm also learning not every song is going to be a TikTok song. Like, it's more important to just add things to my catalog that I'm proud of than, like, make a viral song.
And the
like,
fans will find it.
The fans will find it, yeah.
The true M Byhold fans are going to find it, and they're going to listen to it.
Better.
Yeah, I heard this, and I said, oh, this is a great song. This is an M Byhold song right here. Like, this has got the right energy, the right kind of rawness to it. This is, like, a real song. This is really good. When I talked to Mary Romani, who's on your team, your label, she was always like I knew her before she signed you. And she was like, I'm looking for a real artist, like someone who really can like write and like is really an artist. And then she always says that about you, like you're a real artist, you know, uses TikTok, but like, that's not what it's all about. It's about the artistry. That's what's most important.
I mean, I've been writing since I was seven or six, because it was just the way that I made sense of my emotions. And I continue to keep writing whether or not TikTok is a thing. Like, it's a very useful tool right now, but it's not about, as I said, about the virality. For me, it's just about continuing to keep going.
That's what you got to do. Okay, wait. Here's what I wanted to ask you in our final moments together. I've always wondered this, because you're a big fencer. I fenced back in the day. Not back in the day. When I was in middle school, I fenced for like 4 years, okay? And I went to the FAW, which was like the something fencing Academy of Westchester. It was called the FAW.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, would you know about this? Is this like a famous... Wait, you know about the FAW?
Or... Well, I competed in tournaments like with them.
Really? Are you serious?
Like national... Okay.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know. Because I used to go fencing for 2 hours. Like after school, 2 hours, I would go fencing. The first hour... And what I want to know is if other fencers have this experience. The first hour, all we would do is run laps around the gym and then run suicides and basically all cardio. And I always felt like, even though you need cardio in fencing, that much cardio was not needed. Do all fencers do that much cardio, or was that just this one gym that like did so much cardio, it was insane? Like, I'd get nauseous at the end of it.
I would say we did more footwork than cardio. But when I fenced in college, we would have like conditioning days that were like kind of just cardio or strength like training.
So you do.
I think it's important.
We never did any footwork. Like to me, I don't even know what that is. Well, we would run around and then we would just, maybe we did do footwork, but I feel like we would just run around the gym in a circle and then we do suicides and then we would just start fencing each other. I feel like I got very little instruction.
I feel like it shouldn't have been the way you had it.
It shouldn't have been the way I had it. I did saber. What did you do?
Epee.
Saber to me was the best because it was like it resembled actual sword fighting the most. Is that true?
I would say it's the least strategy, like not to get some beef together. But cool. I mean, saber is, for anyone who doesn't know, like saber, you basically just slash someone very quickly within a few seconds. Epee, yes, it's like,
I like that.
Like setting them up and it takes a lot longer.
See, I don't know any of this. I liked saber, I think, because there was the least strategy. Like, I remember they explained all of them to me, and I said, I want to do saber. That, to me, sounds like the most fun.
But that's the most cardio. Saber, you need to be, like, the most fit.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to, like, charge them quickly. Whereas an epee...
Yeah. You don't... Wait, so what is epee again? Explain that to me. Like I don't really understand. I don't really know the difference.
So epee is the full body and you stab. So, like, I get toe touches and arm touches and stuff. Foil is just like your chest, but there's something called right of way. So whoever attacks first gets the right of way, unless they get parried, then the other person gets the right of way. And then saber is the same. It's chest up to the head with right of way, but slashing instead of poking.
That I remember. Okay. Do you ever convince friends to do this? Like, do you ever convince Alex to suit up with you and fence?
I feel like everyone says they will, but no one follows through. Like, where's
that's insane. If I was your friend and you asked me to go fencing, I would go fencing with you in a second. That is insane that nobody goes with you.
Well, you're my friend now. Let's go fencing.
I'm not even joking. Like, I would go. Like, where do you go? Do you go in LA? Like, do you have a gym in LA?
So my dad fences too. So we set it up in the backyard at this point.
Are you serious? Why is Alex Veltri not going fencing with you?
It's a good question.
Wait, but if I went fencing with you, would that be like a productive thing? Because you could probably literally kick my ass. So I don't want to like, I'm not afraid to lose, but I don't want to just like, I feel like that's not very productive if you're just constantly like beating me and I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, how do you make it a productive afternoon?
I mean, at this point, fencing is just kind of a good workout because I feel like I used to be very competitive, but now I don't really have enough time to do all the training and competition. So it's good to just like stay fit regardless, but you never know. I mean, you could beat me. Who knows?
But how is that even possible? Like, I haven't fenced in years. And I did saber, which apparently is the weakest of all fencing.
Well, I'll teach you epee.
Epee. Okay. Wait. And do you just have, like, extra fencing gear lying around?
I mean, my dad teaches fencing. So, like, we got the stuff.
Is that his main thing? Is that what he does? Is he a fencing teacher?
He used to work in animation, but it wasn't really his passion. So now he teaches fencing at Harvard Westlake and UCLA.
Oh, that's so cool. Did you see Wednesday? Did you watch the show Wednesday?
I did.
Did you think that was good fencing or realistic fencing?
They were not fencing the correct weapon with the correct gear.
You've got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
I'm sure everyone was like, that was sick. And to me, I was like, guys, like, no.
Cringing. You were cringing about it. About the fencing.
You're doing saber in epee gear.
Whenever I see like something stupid about like guitars in TV shows, like someone's playing a guitar upside down or something, I'm like, why isn't somebody like this? To me, should have been so easy to figure out. Like, why was that not figured out for Wednesday?
I mean, they could have hired like one coach.
They could have hired you.
Me? Yeah. I mean, come on. Like season two, Wednesday, let's talk.
Let's talk. We gotta get it right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think that. Set up a time with Alex and myself to go fencing with your dad. This sounds very enjoyable. And the other thing too, I saw you from a distance during Grammy week because we were in line to get into the Grammy U party. What was the Grammy U party where it was so packed?
Yeah.
We waited in line. Like we were at the front of the line for like an hour and then they shut it down or they shut down admission. So we never got in. Was that a great party?
Wait,
do you remember you were with? Yeah. Do you? I'm trying to remember what the actual title was. It was like the Grammy. Was it Grammy U or something? It was in Hollywood.
Music is universal. That thing.
No, it was during the day. Now I don't know. It was during the day at Hollywood. Forget the venue. You were like three people in front of us. And you went in. I think the next person went in. We were front of the line. We were at the front of the line for probably over an hour. And then they said, we're not letting anyone else in. And they shut it down. You were one of the last people to get in.
Really?
You probably don't even know that. Oh, 100%. And it was 100% you. Like, I'm positive.
I didn't go to any parties in the day.
This one was like afternoon, like late.
I feel like I got a doppelganger.
I'm so convinced this was you. Like, red hair and everything. I was like, oh, there's M. Byhold. Are you serious? Wait. It was like 4 o'clock. It was at 4 o'clock. Maybe 4:30.
All the ones I went to were like 7. For the podcast sake, I want to give it to you. But I just don't know which one you're talking about.
Are you serious? Don't give it to me. Maybe I'm insane. Although I'm convinced it was you. Were you with a guy? Did you go to a guy to one of these parties?
Oh, Grammy House.
Grammy House.
Grammy House. Oh my God.
What time did you go into Grammy House?
That was the day I honestly forgot. Wait, don't post that I forgot. That's bad.
Em, what are you talking about? You're making me out here to just be insane. What is this? I was spot on. I was like, there's no way that wasn't you. Like, it was 100% you. Okay, Grammy House. So you literally, like, I feel like you might not know this, but you literally went in because they emailed and they were like, get there early. So we all got there early. You walked in. I think they let two more people in. They then said we're at capacity. So then I had all, like, 10 of us waited in line for an hour. And then they said, we're not letting anyone else in. Like, go home. And they shoot us away. And I thought, oh my God, M. Byhold is a legend. She made it in. And of course she was going to make it. Like, they were going to let her in. Somebody was going to score you from like the line and let you in. Did you go to any good parties though during Grammy week?
I went to the Music is Universal one. And what was really cool was I was waiting in line for the like photo booth. I was with Kira Khosran. And Kim Petras was just standing there. And
oh
she had just won the Grammy. And I was like, congrats on the Grammy. You're a legend. And your speech made me cry. And she was like, thank you. And I like introduced myself, but she was literally just standing there. So it was kind of sick to like talk to Kim Petras right after she won.
Isn't that like, wait, and then do you say like, hey, like, you know, we're on the same label. And like, do you throw that card?
No, I didn't want to be like that. I just admire her from a distance. Like I didn't want to insert myself where I don't belong. But we also saw Jacob Collier and then, Kira told him, thank you for inventing music, which I thought was a very fitting.
Oh, that's so good. Isn't that crazy? Like, we were at the Concord party and we ran into Jared Leto. And then we were saying hi to Jared Leto. And I was like, this is so, like, crazy. Like, he's so normal. Or, like, you, that's just what, like, that's just a thing.
I think something I've learned is that all these people I've idolized for so long are really just people that also don't always know what they're doing.
Yeah, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows.
But it makes me feel better. Like, I don't admire them any less, but we all really love this. Humans. I mean, even being in writing rooms with people that I idolize forever, like, they don't know what the song is either. You know, like, they're with
me. Yeah. Do people come up to you, like, younger artists who have to be idolizing your path and just go, if only I could have a hit, like, Numb Little Bug or have the TikTok success? Like, do people come up to you and just, like, beg for secrets? You're like, I don't have any secrets. Like, I'm just, like, working really hard over here.
I've definitely had quite a few people like ask me what the secret sauce is. And I literally just say like consistency on social media and literally being yourself, because I feel like there is kind of some homogenized teasing song content that's so similar. Like everyone's seen the car video before at this point. I mean, you could still break that way, but like, it's like, how do you make it your own? You know?
Yeah. That's what you have to do. How much time do you spend on your For You page? Like endless?
Sadly, I'm like kind of addicted. I don't want to be where I am. Are you?
Oh my God. Like I'll wake up and I'll be like, don't go on TikTok. Like just get out of bed, brush your teeth, start your day. But then I'll be like, let me watch like 5 videos. Like just, you know, and then it's like an hour later and I'm still scrolling on TikTok. And then I'm like going to sleep. I'm like, I should go to sleep. I'm like, let me just watch a couple of TikTok videos. It's going to put me to sleep. And then it keeps me up for like 2 hours. It's like, what is this? Like, I tell myself it's productive.
Right, right. Yes, I convince myself I'm learning the trends.
100%, right? Because you're learning the trends. You're in pop culture. You get some news that's like probably all fake. Like, it's, you know, so I think it's, I tell myself it's productive.
We do the same thing.
Yeah. I see it. Okay, M. Byhold, I've kept you too long. Oh. We had so many technology issues here, but I feel like we made the most of this. And we have to do it again. And I will go fencing with you. I don't know if we're like, you know, I don't know if we're really like friends. We're like podcast friends. But I'm telling you, like, I will fence.
Okay.
I will dust off the gear. I will like bring Alex Veltri. Let's get her into some gear and let's fence. Like, I think we could do it.
You're coming over. Like, it's set.
I believe this could happen. And I think your dad could give me some pointers. Like this is a thing. Like I want to get back into this. This is good. Do you have like fencing friends, like in a fencing community that you're like only friends with because you guys all fence?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still friends with my college team. And when I opened for King Princess in San Diego, they all came out and like went to the group after. It was incredible.
Oh my God. Do any of them like fence professionally or go on or like very few fence after college?
Some do fence after college. I mean, for a lot of people, it is just like staying fit, even if you're not as competitive, but some are like really good and do world competitions.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I'd love to fence. Okay. Roller Coasters is out now. Roller Coasters Make Me Sad. It's out now. Okay. You need to listen to the song and you need to just think about M. Byhold at a Six Flags and she's not having the time of her life. And the music industry is up and down. And that's what this song is about. Life is up and down. And there are some very clever lines in the song. You need to go listen to it. You need to check it out. And will there be a music video for this song on a roller coaster?
There is a lyric video.
A lyric video.
But I will say Six Flags reached out. I'm going to leave it there because I don't know what's happening. Maybe nothing, teaser. But they reached out.
Teaser, Six Flags reached out and there could be a roller coaster music video in the works.
Who knows?
Who knows? Okay. This is good. This is very good insight.
Awesome.
It was great to see you. It was great meeting you. Please give my best to Alex Veltri. And I hope you write a fucking banger this week. I hope you write your biggest song ever tomorrow. Is that's possible? That could happen.
You never know. It could.
You never know. That could happen.
We're going to try.
I hope so. I hope so. Em, thank you for taking the time. I will see you soon.
Yes, see you soon. Thank you.